Hello, listening audience. This is the Pacifica National Board meeting in Washington, D.C., and we've just returned from a dinner break. It's 10 minutes to 8, and at this point on the agenda, we're going to have a brief period of time when members of the board can ask questions of the interim general manager and the LSB chair at our host station, WPFW. So I would ask them to come back to the front of the room. I saw you both. So that we can... Great. Thank you very much. I appreciate your patience. I can't tell you how much. I'm going to propose that time limit for questions be 1 minute, and that the, each of the two people who are asking questions of be given 2 minutes to respond. I know that's harsh and quick, but we have a lot of stuff left to do tonight that we got left over from earlier today. Okay. Janice.
Janice Lane, you are Pacifica affiliate. May I ask, are the questions to be relative to the presentations we heard today or something else? In fairness of the respondents.
Sure. I think they should be reference to the report that we heard today.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. This is for the board to ask questions, get clarification, whatever. And I really hope they're questions and not speeches and statements. Okay. The other thing I wanted to say was that many people during the course of the public comment that we had before dinner asked questions of this board. And I want to say to people that those questions did not fall on deaf ears. But we don't have a mechanism yet for responding to questions that are brought up in public comment. And we need to work that out, and we're going to talk about it, and we're going to figure out a way to do it. And so I just want you to know that we're listening, and that we will do our best to respond to the kinds of questions that you asked, to all of the questions that you asked. And now, without further ado, I'm going to call on board members to ask questions. Brian, say who you are and where you're from.
Brian Edwards Teeger, KPFA. And I'm just curious what the transmitter problems are. It seems like the central problem that's been dogging WPFW, so like not just this one, but why does the transmitter keep breaking or going to lower power?
I got you.
Janet. Thank you. John, our IT man, he's going to... Do you want to take this? He's going to answer that for you, because it kind of predates me.
There's a number of issues with the transmitter. One is that it's had some problems lately, which we're working on currently, but there's also problems with the RF system and the antenna, and we're not sure exactly where the problem is. So we've been trying to find that out, but it takes money. It's not like you can just do it with a few thousand dollars.
Did your assessment need to stop?
Well, at some point,
you'll get a chance, Kim.
That transmitter is about 12 years old now. We had it refurbed, but it's a tube. It's an Armstrong. Remember Armstrongs?
Yes, I do. Thank
okay.
you. Okay. Enough said as far as I'm concerned.
But there may be also a problem up on the transmission line, which is actually possibly 18 years old, and the antenna hasn't been changed, and there's possibilities of a master antenna being put in by the company that owns the tower. So we're looking at everything. We're looking at how we can do it without spending a whole lot of money and get it back up and working. But it's been an uphill struggle, especially because the last 2 months they basically shut, because of the holidays and everything, they kind of shut down the facility and said, you know, you can only get in there for emergencies. So that kind of shut things down.
Okay. I'm just going to go around the table. I think that makes the most sense. You have a question?
No.
Lydia, you have a question?
Yes. Ola, could you send your presentation? I wouldn't mind having both, but Ola's really struck a chord for those of us at KPFK. If you can send it to pmb@pacifica.org, and that's true of all of the listeners. Obviously, we don't have time to respond, and we haven't come up with this mechanism, but if you can send that, because there are elements in it that may have an impact.
Lydia, you're supposed to be asking a question. Just ask a question.
If she can send it to pmb@pacifica.org, I would really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
I already asked you that. Okay. Benito, you have a question?
Yes. Questions for both people.
Well, could you ask one question? That seems like it's, if we're going to get around and everybody's going to have a chance, just ask one question, okay? You have, I hate to be difficult, but you have a lot of opportunity to talk to these two people, I think, more than the rest of us, so.
That's not necessarily so.
Oh, okay.
But So my answer is, So my name is Benito from D.C., PFW, and my response to the chair is that it's not necessarily so.
I heard.
That we have more time or chances to speak to the IGM. So first of all, a question, a clarification. Am I limited to one question, period, or one question per person?
Well, let's see. Let's do
it. Or a minute per each.
Okay. You have a minute to ask.
Trying to be clear.
I understand. You have a minute to ask your question. You can ask, if you can ask two questions in 1 minute, I think that's fine. But you have a minute to ask your questions. And then, depending on how long it takes us to get around the table, there may be a second round, but I doubt it. Okay?
Oh, yeah. So first of all, to the IGM, you talked about returning popular programs to the air. You returned recently, Eve's Haitian show, of which I am a 20-year religious supporter.
What's the question?
Okay, so my question is, why have other equally, if not more, popular shows, such as we heard today, Tom Porter and Jared Ball, why have they not been returned to the air? And I don't want to hear nothing about the Jared been suspended. So, one. Number two, I'd like to know, okay. So the second question to Ola, how does the excessive use of secret meetings harm the LSB?
Okay. So, go ahead.
Oh,
I'm sorry. Yeah, Michelle, go ahead.
The first question was about about Jared.
You return Eve to the air.
Mm-hmm.
And our demand is that you return the grid. Then why has Eve been returned to the air?
That's enough.
And Tom Porter and Jared Ball, Ellen Carter, and such other examples not been returned to the air as well, given that they are just as, if
Benito,
not
that's it. That's it.
I have it.
Benito, that's enough. She got the question.
So you know, again, as I stated in the beginning, my first responsibility was fiscal and then relocation and then programming. But we did return the Haitian show to the air because it represented a community that was underserved. There is no other Haitian show on the air, period. And so that was an underserved community. If there were other shows that were representing underserved communities, they would be back on the air as well. Restoring the programming. I've had several people ask about restoring a programming grid. again, as I'm going to say this over and over, our first, my first responsibility is a fiscal one and then a relocation one. And as we go along, the program director and I have been trying to add other things to this, to do more than one thing at once. We don't have a, there isn't a plan to restore the grid now. I just have to say it that way. That is something that after we move, then that is something that we can further discuss.
No, I'm sorry. You can't do that, Benito. I am sorry. You cannot do that. I apologize. We'll never get through this if you do that. You asked Ola a question, and I will ask Ola to respond now, please.
Thank you. Your question was, how does excessive use of secret meetings harm the LSB? Right. Well, the LSB is meant to be a board, a local station board for the community, as I understand it. And it relies on information from the PNB. If the majority of meetings are in closed session, the problem is, one, it creates an atmosphere of distrust. Whenever people meet in closed, behind closed doors, wherever you are, it creates elements of suspicion. Suspicions that maybe may or may not be warranted. But the problem is, it creates that suspicion, number one, if it's continuous. Number two, I think the report outs from the PMBs, lots of them can fit on a postage stamp. But my question then is, why spend $40,000 of elections if people are only going to get postage stamp reports? What's the point? It doesn't make any sense to me. And I think that the bottom line is that executive sessions, closed meetings, whatever you choose to call them, should be used when necessary, and they should not be used excessively. It's as simple as that.
Thank you.
Jim.
My question is mostly to the general manager. What is the status of the Leonard grant? Where are we with that now? Because that's part of what we look at as our relocation support.
You mean the funds that we already have?
The funds, yeah. In other words,
those funds that were restricted?
Yes.
We used approximately $40,000 of that 200 or so thousand to move to our temporary location, and the rest of it is still restricted.
And still till
we move. So it's available for whenever we get to move again.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Please identify yourself.
Janet Coburn, KPFA. So this is probably mostly directed to the IGM. Would you describe the transparency and availability of financial reports and records to the LSB members?
Do you mean?
So what you are reporting, and you're reporting from some kind of, you know, there are records and that you have access to. Does anybody
currently I don't have access to a majority of our records. I don't understand what you mean.
Well, the financial records, the budget and the just your finances and
okay.
The bills and the, you know, all that.
For WPFW, before I got here, there was a situation with the business manager, and the records were taken to the national office. And I've been lobbying the national office to return our records because it is very difficult for us to pay bills and whatever because we don't have a copy of our finances. And I think that a lot of the fiscal transparency that is being requested is not from me because anything that we have, we show. But I don't have records before, other than the bills that we've gotten the last 2 months or so.
Okay. Heather.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Tony.
Yes. So, and that, just to follow up on that last. Tony Norman, WPFW. Does that include our checkbook in terms of writing checks and all of that? Was that taken to National
Office? That was also taken to the National Office, and I requested our checks back as well as all of our finances, and I was not given a response. But recently, we did get some of our checks back.
Rodrigo, name and station, please.
Yeah, my name is Rodrigo Argueta from KPFK, and thank you very much for being here today. And I want to ask you, do you send like a GM report monthly to the local station board? And also, do you have management presence at the local station board meetings? That's one of the questions. And another question is, what is the situation of the community advisory board? Is it like body that is working and it's available with information to the Corporation for Public Broadcasting auditors? And for the local station board, have you done, you know, the regular or consistently the town hall meetings, as required? Thank you.
For the LS, I didn't touch. Okay, okay. The LSB, we do a monthly report, and I am available for LSB meetings. For the CAB, we're doing some things that were not done previously. I've had a meeting recently with our LSB and CAB chairs, and they are going to be going forward the way that programming changes happen with the station, as by the bylaws that they have, where they get intake from the community about what they want, and they are going to statistically, I guess, do surveys and that kind of thing so that we can see, so that our decisions are informed decisions based upon what the community is asking for, and not so much a smaller section, but for a larger section. And that I'm really excited about that. So those are the things.
I can respond. First of all, I'm the new chair of the LSB, and I can say that we did have at least two town hall meetings last year. I can also say that in terms of the presence of management, I think we have actually received reports from the interim general manager. For the interim program director, I think he's been present perhaps at one or two meetings, and I think that's one meeting perhaps, and I think that's it. And I don't recall receiving a report from the interim program director at all. I obviously stand corrected if someone can actually produce one for me.
Thank you. Lucette.
Lucette King, WPFW. Michelle, to what extent do you think a return to our grid as we wanted would enhance the fundraising strategy that you're talking about? And also, what are the bills that you're receiving at the moment that don't seem to tally with what you inherited?
Do you mean inside or outside bills?
Any kind of bills.
Okay.
Anything that affects our finances.
Okay. As far as a return to the grid, because the outcry, again, the change of the grid predates me, and we've gotten so many people that are vocal that say return for the grid, but we've got them a very silent majority that says, well, the grid wasn't good, so we want better programming. And so in an effort to make sure that we make really great decisions about the programming, we want to use the strategies that are in place. The CAB is developed to research and poll the community to find out what the community wants as far as programming. And so instead of doing a whiplash effect of restoring a grid that was not working as well as it could, we want to restore those shows that make the most sense and that were working. And we want to restore the things that would help the station to do what it's supposed to do. I'm sorry. To do what it's supposed to do fiscally. So we're going to wait. But that all has to be done in proper order. And again, I keep saying that my two things right now are the finances and the relocation. And the changing the grid, it coincides with as the CAP begins to process and document what the community really wants through their processes. As far as bills, there have been quite a few outstanding bills that have come into the station from both the national office and from other vendors that we can't connect where they come from. I got a $14,000 bill recently that I requested the attorney's office to do a verification of, and once I requested it, they kind of nullified the bill. So that's $14,000 down, $100,000+ more to go. But you know, we're working on that. So there are quite a few bills that are vendors that we can't, again, because we don't have our finances, we don't have our books. So I think that will assist us.
Thank you. Okay, Lawrence.
Yes.
Who are you?
Lawrence Reyes, KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles. So just feeling what the community was saying this afternoon in regards to a lot of the concerns that they have and a lot of the concerns that the chair also brought to the table, how do you anticipate working in an interim capacity, knowing that a lot of the interns in the network are not of the community. So how do you anticipate working more collaboratively with the LSB and the community in terms of resolving a lot of what I've found from the community is a lot of conflict and a lot of dissension, a lot of unhappiness?
One of the things that I started when I first got here, because I was here in May when they were when the station did not, I was asked to come here to try to help the station with the relocation. There was about 15 days before it would be on the street, and we got it the temporary location that it is in now. And then I wasn't here anymore, and then back now in September, in October, and so. Part of what I believe that should happen is what's happening now. The LSB, I've worked with Eves when he was the LSB chair. I've worked with Lizette and most of our PNB members to try to find out what we could do together. I meet with the finance committee to try to do those things that we know that need to happen. But I think that there has to be a lot better support from our national office. I keep wanting to say the spot that I'm in right now is that people think that in the community side that there is since I'm the interim general manager, that there is a level of complicity that's happening with the national office that's not happening. And I think that at the same time, sometimes it seems as though the reason we can't get answers to questions because the national office thinks that there is some complicity going on this side, and it makes it a very difficult spot. At the same time, my goal is the staff. We try to make sure that we provide a good quality product on the air. We have increased our finances. We are making major gains in trying to find a space to live, per se. And we are working on the things that people are asking for about their programming. We're working on it, but it's not a priority for us right now. So there is an effort to collaborate with everybody through the LSB and the CAB, and something as simple as, and I don't know how other stations use their CAB, but understanding that the CAB is where the programming comes from. So we're working to use the CAB to make sure that we're facilitating good programming.
Thank you. Jose Luis.
I also address the LSB chair.
Oh, you want the LSB chair to answer that same question? Yeah. I'm sorry. Hola.
And I'd like to thank you for last night as well. I'm sorry.
I think it's a very good
It's all right.
Well, I was just about to mention the word conflict. I think it's a very good question. How do you work as an interim management in an environment which is clearly stating that there's disharmony? It's a very good question, and I think that the difficulty that I face with that is that let's talk about an entity outside of the LSB. The Community Advisory Board, it was reported, had an incident where the interim program director attended, and that resulted in members stepping down, resigning, based on the way that he was speaking to them. Now, that's how it was reported. I think that in terms of the interim general manager, I think what we've heard is that clearly Michelle Price is a smart woman. I think what we've also heard that the question is whether it's compatible with PFW. And there's concerns about whether there really is actually compatibility with PFW. I can't speak for personally because the question isn't directed personally. But talking about what I've heard from board members, talking about what I've heard from the community, that I think that it's going to be, we need to have a clear plan before we get to the permanent general manager and permanent director. But certain things between now and then are going to be very difficult to maintain, even on a short-term basis.
Thank you. Jose Luis.
Good evening, Jose Luis Fuentes, KPFA. And I didn't catch when you started as a general manager. What year?
Last year.
October of last year? Okay. So, perfect. So, I think you've been doing a great job to start out with. I've been looking at the numbers, and the numbers are 2013. It was 1.4 million. You guys have gone up to 1.6 million in 2012 was 1.4. 2013, you're up to 1.6. And then you guys are going up $50,000. Everything is on the upward trend. You've decreased about $200,000 in staff. And what is the national office providing for you guys for the 200,000 plus that you give them?
I'm going to go try to
validate. That's my question. You guys are doing great. I mean, your numbers are going up, but and you're also paying the national office $200,000. What are you guys getting for it?
Jose Luis, you go ahead. Michelle.
Currently,
her mic's off, John.
No, it's on. Currently, we are doing better in the last few, because I mean, it's a all out effort from the staff, from our programmers, from the community, those that aren't mad about their programming not being back the way they wanted it to yet, but there is a plan for it. I don't think that right now we're able to connect to our national office as I would think that it would be best for the station, but I'm sure that going forward, I'm hoping that there is a better relationship with what's going on in California.
George.
Well, I'd like to hear from the as well from the.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You know, it's a great question. I wish I knew the answer. You know, the lots of things at the station are written in invisible ink. I would say in invisible ink, and you have to be decoded to know what actually it really says. So, good question.
George Ryder, KPFT. Ola, you said kind of in passing, but I was interested that you're looking to create a policy for community programming. What was that about?
Thank you for. I did actually mention that. Wow, you were listening really well. Actually, it was one of the resolutions that was passed at the special meeting on Wednesday, and it's on page 8. Bear with me just a moment. The it says here. It was actually 10 votes yes, 3 abstentions, just for your information. We need policies to allow us to engage in community-based sponsorships for programming. And that was a motion that was passed at the special meeting on Wednesday.
And what does that mean, community-based sponsorships for programming?
Well, I think that's a very good question. And I think what they're talking about local community, small, like mama and pops type of thing, rather than your large conglomerates in terms of sponsoring the program. That's what I believe. And I also believe they're talking about individuals as well. But I think that policy needs to be written out clearly.
When you say sponsoring, you mean what? Underwriting the show or...
It's a very good question, and I think that I'm going to have to, I can perhaps defer to the person who even made the motion, because I'm trying to remember specifically, I'm trying to remember specifically whether it was he meant underwriting, and I don't want to misquote what was said at that meeting. So I can actually go to the confer with the maker of the statement, or I can put it in writing to you after this meeting, whichever you prefer.
That was one who made the motion.
I'd be glad to hear from him directly now.
Come to the microphone. So the people on air can hear you.
Oh, here you go.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Eric Ramey. I'm newly elected to the LSB here at WPFW. I've been on the pledge lines there. I've logged over 1,000 hours there. I have a good sense of what our community, who they are, and what their needs are. I propose that we have, I'm told not to use certain words here, but that our community and individuals could sponsor programming. The announcement we could make is such that this program partly was made with a generous donation from Acme's dry cleaners and such. We're not talking about McDonald's, Raytheon, Exxon, although we did accept their money about 20, 30 years ago. Also from individuals, one of our stations also in our area, there's something along the lines of this donation is in recognition of the birthday of Thomas Jefferson and such. That's the intent, and that was the result we were looking for. We were not accepting money from the Republican National Committee as such. But it's strictly about small businesses, businesses in the community. And our community, the nature of our community has changed drastically over the last 10 or 15 years or so. But it's strictly community-based, and it's dealing with individuals.
Okay. Thank you.
And the motion did pass overwhelmingly, almost unanimously.
Thank you very much. Okay. Are you done, George?
Yeah.
Okay, Kim.
My understanding is that you share the bookkeeper or the business manager with the Texas business manager. Isn't that correct?
No, she posts the bills that we pay, but the bills are paid out of the bills were supposed to be paid from the national office, as my understanding, in September, but there weren't many being paid, so we started to pay them from DC. So that's why we were requesting our finances come back, because we're paying bills that we don't have records of.
But aren't your records going through Texas? They're doing your bookkeeping?
No, they only, after the bills are paid, they post it so that we'll know what's on our budget. They only post paid bills.
Who tracks your revenue? Who tracks your listener support?
We have to send that all to, she tracks that. That's what I'm saying. She posts it, but it comes into
our Texas.
Office.
Pardon me. Kim, let her answer, and then...
I
you're asking... Okay.
We're clarifying terms, Margie.
Let me clarify.
You're taking over...
Bills and revenue come into the D.C. office. Mm-hmm. It is accounted in the D.C. office. Mm-hmm. In order to keep it so that Pacifica can see what we're doing, like most everyone else, we have to post it in Memphis. I think that's Memphis. Is that
Great
right?
Plains.
Great Plains. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And that is done in Houston, mm-hmm. Not the actual... bill paying that is done in D.C.
Okay, but you do have access to those records, so you can...
No, we do not.
Markeisha doesn't send you reports?
No, I'm saying our long-term, you know, like your whatever, the history of our records, they were taken in October, so we don't have those.
You don't get monthlies out of Texas?
Objection.
Okay, yeah, please.
Well, I'm confused.
There's no history. There's no history. It's not in Texas. The history of our records are not in Texas. If you're saying what was happening in October, I have that in the office because I have a copy of that.
Okay, that's what I wanted.
But I don't have...
You have October, November, December. Okay.
Right.
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Janice.
Janice Lane, you are Pacifica affiliate. The first question is for John. John, have you considered posting a note to PubTech or one of the other engineer-based listservs to ask for in-kind support or donated services in the technical issues related to the transmitter and
we have
antenna?
Not, we have not. What we're doing is we're working with our engineer in Houston because he has experience with that transmitter. The problem is trying to find where the problem is right now. It looks like it may be on multiple fronts. The engineer who was formerly working on that basically said there was no problem with the transmitter and left it in a state where we're uncertain what the status is.
That's what we're doing this week. We're staying.
Yes, and we're staying after the meeting to work on it.
Okay.
And other issues.
This is a comment, and then I have a question for...
Okay, no comments. And then, I don't know, did you use... She didn't use up her minute. No.
If I can clarify what I've been doing.
Yeah, hold on.
I've been clocking a minute for initial questions, 2 minutes for responses,
right,
which is what you told me.
Right.
Some people have asked follow-ups or clarifying questions.
Know.
And for
it's
everybody else, when they fit within the 2 minutes,
yeah,
it's gone good. So in the 2 minutes, that's time for the question and response. There's a minute and 11 seconds left.
For the sake of clarity, I will pass.
Thank you.
Okay, I have a... Quickly, could you tell me on what criteria, Michelle, you are basing your judgments for programming decisions?
Again, the programming that we have changed to date was because it was for underserved. The show that we just put back on the air was because it was taken off the air, and it was one of the only ones that was serving an underserved community, so it was back on the air. Any additional programming changes, and I know we get a lot of people asking for a lot of changes. I understand that it's been a year that the grid was changed, but there are fiscal things that take precedence over the programming right now, and I'm just asking for patience from the community, and I've been doing that for a while, that let us get our house in order, and then we can deal with our programming. But I know that because it looks like the house is getting in order, people are rushing to try to get their show back on the air. And I think that, I just say that it needs to hold. And I said it earlier, the CAB, we're going to use the CAB, and we've talked, I don't know if she's still here, Cynthia, the chair of the CAB, we're working
you.
On it.
Okay. Carolyn. Thank you. Richard.
I'd like to thank you both for coming early and staying late. It was good visit with you both. I don't have any questions tonight. Y'all have a safe drive home.
Thank you, Richard.
You too.
I'm Janet Coleman from WBAI, your fellow Eastern station in trouble. I have a three-part question. One is, I say you're operating 11% of power. When you operated 100% of power, what's your wattage? And as a result of diminished capability to transmit, what neighborhoods, what areas of your signal area have you lost, and how has that affected your fundraising? I'm saying this with a kind of selfish interest, too.
Well, you know what I want to say first?
Knowing what a smaller
first, before he comes to the signal. Microphone, I want to say that. I want to clarify something. PFW, fiscally, we're not so much in trouble. I don't like us to keep saying we're in trouble.
Whatever.
Yeah, so I want to say that
first.
You've
got a problem here. This is okay. A problem.
Well, the transmitter, I'm going to let John answer most of those questions.
It's 50,000 watts at 150 feet over average terrain. All of the East Coast stations are only at most 50,000 watts.
Covering which areas and which have been cut out by the signal deficiency?
You'll lose on the outskirts, but the real problem is that when you're at 10% power, which is not one-tenth of coverage, what will happen is that it will be difficult to receive within a house. In a car, it's not going to be such a problem. Inside of a house, you're not going to get into that house. Yeah, you're not going to get your penetration.
And has that... Jeff. The third part of the question was, how has that affected the fundraising? the diminished area of transmission?
Well, I'm going to say this. There was a time before I got here that the station was off the air a significant amount, and then it came back on the air. And the first week of that drive, we made like in the 10,000 or so. I don't want to say the number because I don't have that information with me. But is Tony still here? But right after that, we jumped significantly. That was one of the best drives that we've had. You want to deal with that September drive, the difference between when it right came on the air and then how much you made like at the end of that first drive? In October, September.
We were hopeful at that point.
You know, I don't remember the specifics.
But it has impacted.
Yeah.
But again, with the turmoil and everything that's going on, it's impacted significantly.
Thank you.
Manishe, please tell us who you are.
Manishe Saba, WBAI, New York. I have two questions, and I would like to ask them and then give you time to respond to them the way you wish to. I'm wondering what is your percentage in terms of pledge and fulfillment at
what
your station? The percentage of pledge and fulfillment. I know that from our station we always get that we get, for example, $100,000, but we are at 73% fulfillment, therefore we get $73,000 of the money that is being pledged. I would like to have that. The other one is that Pacifica is about peace. And I would like to ask the question regarding how do you consider this, the base of premises of what Pacifica is, to fund programming. Particularly, I heard that you said that you provide service, you the emergency at the situation you are using unfulfilled, underserved communities. How would that explain hiring somebody, having somebody like Mark Levine? I don't know him, but he was one of the members of the audience talked about that. Somebody who supports and promotes war to be on the station talking.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm asking from
Mark Levine has been with the station for 6 years.
That has got nothing to do with it, but has got to do with peace and justice station.
Hold on. Okay. He hasn't been on the station, on the air for 6 years? Is that what you're saying?
Well, he might have been on the air for 6 years, but he only started getting paid since Tony...
Stop. I'm sorry. I apologize.
As is often the case with these things, that is not correct.
Okay.
Mark Levine is unpaid.
Okay, thank you. I apologize. I didn't understand your answer.
Okay.
So go ahead, Michelle.
So as he said, he's been on the air for 6 years and he's not paid. And I think that goes to the confusion of what's going on. And it's a lot of angst that predates us getting here. And it just kind of gets lumped together. And we're trying to do our best to focus on getting the station fiscally whole, getting us relocated, and then we're going to deal with the programming. But there is a lot of angst that's here at the same time. And I think that kind of merges together. The thing that you asked about pledge and fulfillment, and I now have to tell you, again, a lot of that predates me, but I know that it's really low based upon the thank you, because he does this. He said it's about 65%, so I can just stop that right there. Thank you.
Okay, I hear that
it's really
when
it's
you
lower.
Cut other programmings
no,
that
no.
people are talking about, how this program was not taken off and put one
I'm
of
sorry.
The
Manishe, you're out of time, please. Thank you.
I apologize.
Okay, thank you. Adriana.
To respond?
Oh, go ahead. You may respond, certainly.
I'm going to address the part about engaging in peaceful individuals, which is actually specified in the Pacifica bylaws. It's part of the preamble that we engage with peaceful individuals, and it states that specifically. The problem that I have with that is that when we have on a WPFW Connect website, we do not negotiate with terrorism. I think that it sends alarm bells across the whoever's reading it, and even the insinuation that we would engage with terrorism is completely abhorrent to our bylaws. I'll even go even further than that. I was actually present at the jazz night event in question.
Stop it.
I was actually present
Benita,
there.
Stop
Stop it.
And as I was present at that event, I was there with children. They stay there to 9:40 at night. I don't think any sane person would allow children to stay at an event where there were potential terrorists throwing grenades at an event, number one. And I think number two, I think that once you actually start putting labels out like that, it creates an atmosphere of distrust and also an atmosphere where you can't actually grow creatively. Radio stations are about programming, about the content of the programming and being creative, being original and without fear. I don't think that is acceptable in Pacifica.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, Adriana, who are you?
Adriana Kasnev, KPFT. I have a question for the two of you. For the chair first, do you have a finance committee? Do you have a treasurer? I know that you don't have a business manager, but if you do, do they have access to financial info and they report back to the LSB? That is one. The second one is for the interim general manager. Do you have support from the national office? Do you feel it? Do you have an idea of how long it will take to stabilize WPFW, to have your local authorities there, people from your local station? Thank you.
We do have a finance committee, and we do. The treasurer is actually the chair of that committee. I don't think he would disagree with me in saying that he probably doesn't have any here anymore because he's pulled every here out trying to get financial information. It has been an ongoing struggle, for source of frustration and a waste of his professional time. Not only that, I don't believe that he could even show a balance sheet for last year because I don't think one's been presented. So I think that it's a situation which really needs to be remedied immediately.
Thank you.
To answer the questions about the, was the finance committee chair to me or to Ola? Was it to Ola? To me? Okay. Because I do have to meet with the finance committee meetings, and we do give accountability as far as what we have now, but it is a source of frustration that we don't have our records. So that's difficult. Support from the national office, I have to say we don't have. It's been very contentious, and I'm hoping. It's just been very contentious. And there was a third thing that you said about local something.
Yeah, if you think that how long, if you have an idea how long it will take to stabilize the station.
Well, honestly.
Because I hear the pain station, from the people. I'm sorry.
There is the station, and then there is the perception, and then there's like the reality. The station stabilizing, we are stable. Inside, financially. I mean, now it's getting much more stable. The our revenue is generating. Our expenses are we've decreased as much as possible. So it is getting stabilized, so that we're not afraid that we're going to get put out or our lights not be able to pay our tower rent. That's one thing. That's my first priority. Secondly, the community. It is things like this where we get to communicate. And after you guys went to dinner, we got a chance to talk with some people that have been vocal opponents to the station. And a lot of what I hear is not really what is factual, but being able to talk to them and get factual things, it is very helpful. So we're working on that. But again, Tony and I kind of are coming into the middle of a year or so of controversy, as you guys know. And we're in the middle of trying to stop the bleeding, make friends, and grow. Do you know what I'm saying? And it is difficult to do all three of those things at the same time, but we've got to focus on, and a lot of people that dislike the things that they think are happening are because we can't, we've got to focus on stopping the bleeding first.
Thank you.
Serene.
Okay, thanks. Serene Roberts from WBI. I'm going to talk a little fast because I'm in such a short time. I want to say to the IGM that I think your job is impossible. I think working as Pacifica management at a station is impossible. You have 24 bosses on the local station board. You have a boss in the national office. And you have listeners who are not particularly keen on hearing we're going to get to the programming issue in this order, because for them, and I'm a PFW supporter and listener, you know, I don't want to wait another 6 months to know when Katia is coming back on with her show. When, you know, when I can hear Willard
Jenkins.
Yeah. When I can hear the programmers whose work I enjoy and their professionalism. So the problem with deferring dealing with these issues, that's not possible.
That is.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
You didn't ask a question either.
Okay. Right. So we're a radio station, right?
Ask the question.
That's my question. We're a radio station. Programming, programming is primary. Programming is our product. Justice deferred is justice denied. These issues have to be dealt with. And I would ask you to reorder what your plans are to reorder or multitask or whatever to get it all done at once, because they can't be separated.
You know what? And I want to say this kind of quickly, because I totally, you start off saying it's impossible, and then you tell me get all three things done at once, which, you know what I'm saying?
That's the job.
And you're right. You're right. And that's why when we started, to say that we're on a month-to-month on our tower fee because it was so behind that they won't give us a lease, so that's our tower. So that is how we broadcast. That is $3,500 per month. To say that we have rent that is $12,000 per month, that's what it is. You know what I'm saying? And those things are what they are. And so to say multitask, the first goal was to make sure that we could stay in the temporary location and that we could continue to keep our tower. It's only $3,500, but when it's 3 or 4 months behind, you've got to do something to, you know, there's things that have to be, and I think that it's a luxury to say, well, I don't care about all that, but all of us have homes and we've got to pay light bills. And you can say that you want to keep your lights on and you want to get your kids some new jeans so that they can look fashionable. You can say that at the same time, but there are priorities, and there just are. And I will say that it is a priority to me to get the programming to where I think that where people are saying that they want it to be, that we've established that we've got a system to do that through the CAB. But I have to go back to my priority now is to make sure that I'm interim. Whenever I leave, that there is money in the bank, so that there will never be a time where, well, not in the immediate future, where there is a problem with us being able to pay rent. And that's just where I am right now.
Thank you. Ola, go ahead.
Thank you. I think part of the bleeding is the way that the programming was handled at the station,
mm-hmm.
historically and now, unfortunately. That's part of the bleeding process.
Make him stop.
And I think that, you know, the underrepresented at PFW is stated in the mission statement, which I think someone held up then. It includes, off the top of my head, blacks, Hispanics, women, and others as well. So if you're going to actually do a rollback of the grid in part, you have to actually look at all those underrepresented groups, which include women. Sophie's Parlor, one of the longest running shows on radio. That includes the Sounds of Brazil. How can we ignore those things? So, I mean, the problem is, when you do that, it creates disharmony, and what I would like to see the station is a united station, and that's the problem with it.
Thank you very much. I want thank you.
One clapping spirit.
Thank you. You'll get a chance to clap. I want to thank both Ola and Michelle for sticking it out, sitting around while we had dinner. I appreciate you being here, and we take all of these problems very seriously and wish you the best of luck in resolving them, and we'll try to do our part, okay?
I would like to say thank you for allowing us to be accountable, because that's why we're here.
Absolutely. Thank you. All right. Okay, where are we? Okay. Okay. I think we have to, you know, triage where we're at, because it's now 9:15. We left over the issue of the election of the permanent chair from this morning. We left over the question of
Vice Chair, Secretary.
Vice Chair and Secretary. So there are three elections that need to be dealt with. And then we're supposed to have the this development fundraising discussion, which is to begin with reports from the affiliates. What is she called?
Affiliates director.
Affiliates director, and from PRA, I'm sorry, the Pacifica Radio Archives director. And they're both here, and they've been waiting all day to make their reports. I'm like, how are we going to do all this? And it's 8:45, and I don't know about you, but my brain is like going to mush really fast. Okay. All right. So Summer just whispered in my ear that Brian DeShazer, the PRA director, is not available tomorrow, but Ursula, the affiliates director, is. I'm sorry?
I could do Monday.
You could do Monday? No, we don't have any open sessions on Monday, I don't think. We do? We have open session on Monday? Okay. Yeah, we'll just push something out of the way. So,
I move we take the two staff reports.
Yeah, okay, thank you. Is there any objection to that, that we have the two staff reports now, then get back to our election business and deal with it in the future, like in the next 24 hours? Is there any objection to doing that? It seems appropriate. They're here, and they've been waiting for a long time, and I'd like to give them the opportunity. And the public may stay. This is a public session. You might actually find the reports from the affiliate director and the Pacific Radio Archives director interesting. All right, so in my agenda, yes, Benito?
Can I make a comment before the public leaves?
No.
We're not closing this meeting.
We're not closing this meeting. They're not going.
But folks are getting ready to leave.
Yeah, but you're not going to make any comments. That's okay. Printed agenda, the report of the archives director is first, and then the report of the and I'm going to have to move because he's showing a movie.
Yeah.
All right. Oh my God. Okay.
Point of information. Point of information.
Yes. Yes, and
Margie, point of information?
Yes, Janet.
Janet Coburn, KPFA. Do we have any idea how much time this whole thing is going to take?
Hold on. Serene's sending it out. Have you sent it out yet?
No, I can. But
yes, yeah,
we don't have any times, really.
Margie,
no.
Serene.
We're going.
You need to.
We're leaving.
Yeah.
Are we here?
Excuse me, did you hear my point of information?
Sorry.
Yes, this is there.
Of course not.
I don't know. Brian, how long is your report?
If I said yeah, no, we just have to, put the screen here.
All the angles are crazy.
No more money for you. No.
20 including Q&A.
Okay,
you're going to
have
to
get
that
Ursula?
I just put it aside.
No,
I just put it aside.
Okay.
Ooh, this is heavier than I thought.
Oops.
I was just vigorously erasing.
Okay.
Do it with enthusiasm.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Otis. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I can actually go in the back. I can just send this.